Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour cosmic cocktail party. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Toronto to Tampa, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How are we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Boy, we got a good show for you. What are the odds on the one day of the year there is absolutely no sports, perennially known as the dead day, the one 24-hour window on the sports calendar for all year where nothing happens? So much so that the only real story is a fake awards for sports with a red carpet by a certain network that happens today and tonight. We have an enormous breaking sports story. The Toronto Raptors have acquired Kawhi Leonard. And the San Antonio Spurs have acquired DeMar DeRozan, and we have ourselves a show. So we'll have instantaneous reaction and analysis right off the top of the show. Plus, we'll go into this all morning long. Also, we'll have class reunion segment. As you know, I love this series that we do every summer. We look back at notable anniversaries in sports. This year, 20-year anniversary of the great home run chase of 1998. We'll talk to one of the guys that investigated that home run chase and reported on it and was on the ground during it for the New York Times. Bill Deadman, investigative reporter, is going to join us on the show in the second hour to look back 20 years on Sosa versus McGuire. Also, this hour on the show, a very impressive young man, Duke basketball player Brennan Besser, who's going to be a senior shooting guard for Duke, is raising money across America for those with intellectual or developmental disabilities by biking from Seattle to New York City. What a cool story that is for that young man. He'll join us in studio coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. Plus, we've got Major League Baseball's All-Star Game and Rob Manfred calling out Mike Trout. We also have Mike Gundy calling out the college football playoff structure. So a ton to get to this morning on the show, but the big news is Kawhi Leonard is headed north of the border. Kawhi to Toronto for DeMar DeRozan. There's other pieces involved. We don't have specifics yet, but the crux of it, the core of it is the Spurs have traded Kawhi Leonard to Toronto, one of the top five players of the NBA, an MVP candidate when healthy, maybe the best two-way player in the league, have traded him to the Raptors, the number one seed in the East last year, for DeMar DeRozan, and we're waiting for the other pieces to come into focus. The first angle, the first question on this is, who wins the Kawhi deal, Toronto or San Antonio? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
His offense is phenomenal. His late clock shot making is great. It's really what we need him to do in the offense throughout the course of the game when the shot clock's running down to kind of bail out the offense when teams are playing us tough. My heart's pretty set on coaching the team we got because I've put in 5 years with these guys and we've taken some huge steps. And I don't know if there's any truth to any of those rumors or not. I'm focused on coaching the guys we got right now.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
And that was Nick Nurse, new head coach of the Toronto Raptors, who joined Bill Ryder right here on CBS Sports Radio before this deal went down, obviously. Who wins this deal? Look, right now, it's the Spurs. Right now, it's the Spurs because the Spurs get a player under contract for 3 years. Okay? That's huge. DeMar DeRozan is not the type of talent Kawhi Leonard is, but he's pretty damn good. DeMar DeRozan last year averaged 23 points. 5 rebounds. He's been an all-star, and he's only 28 years old. So you're still getting a guy in his prime. Honestly, this is about as good of a deal as you're going to get if you're San Antonio if you didn't want to trade him to anywhere but the East. Because you get a player who's in his prime, who's an all-star, and under contract for 3 years at a reasonable rate. Now, personally, for me, if I'm San Antonio, I'm not too worried about trading him in the Western Conference or getting back prospects, because if I'm the Spurs, I feel like my window of having won championships with that crew is over, and I would be okay resetting, getting draft picks, getting young players like Los Angeles wanted to give up, being the Lakers, or maybe other teams that had young players they wanted to give up. But if you're San Antonio and you want to remain competitive, if you're San Antonio and you want to try to get a player that's at least close to Kawhi Leonard's ability, you didn't get Kawhi Leonard back, obviously. You didn't get a player back in return that could be Kawhi Leonard down the road. But you did get an all-star in his prime who's under contract for 3 more years, and you sent him east. You sent Kawhi east. So right now, because the Raptors don't get more than 1 year out of Kawhi, and they might not even get that, you have to say winner is San Antonio right now. Now let's look at it from the Toronto standpoint. I get it. I understand why they did it. And in this case, I can't blame them for doing it. Masai Ujiri looked at this roster. They were a number one seed of the East last year. They had the best bench in basketball, maybe the best home court advantage outside of the Golden State Warriors, and they didn't make it out of the second round. It got swept by LeBron of the Cavaliers. Now, LeBron is out of the East, but you say, we've got to shake something up because we have stagnated. So the first thing you do is you fire Dwayne Casey, which I think if you knew this play was coming down the road, you wouldn't have fired Dwayne Casey, but you do. So the first thing you've done now is you've changed the leadership at the top. Secondly, you've removed one of the pieces and got better. If Kawhi Leonard decides to play for you, you have improved because Kawhi is better than DeMar DeRozan. He's an MVP candidate. He really is. He's one of the best 5 players in basketball. Maybe at his peak, one of the best 3 players in basketball. DeMar DeRozan's not. So you do get better. And what they're betting on, what they're banking on, is what Oklahoma City did with Paul George. Let's get you in our organization and let's try to win you over the calendar year before you become a free agent. And this is the other thing that Toronto gets in this deal. The bird rights. They have now the right to offer and sign Kawhi Leonard more money than the Lakers, the Clippers, or anybody else next offseason. In fact, it's $50 million more. Here's the difference in the deal that Toronto can now give Kawhi next summer versus what anybody else can. The Raptors can give you 5 years at 190. The Lakers or the Clippers or anywhere else can give them 4 years, 140. That's the difference of one more year and $50 million. That's significant. But it's obviously a risk. Because what happens if A, Kawhi Leonard is miserable throughout this entire season, knowing it's just a one-year rental, didn't want to go to Toronto anyway, had his heart set in Los Angeles, wants to play out west where he's from, and is just going through the motions for you, and it's going to leave anyway. Now you've sacrificed DeMar DeRozan, your best player, who is going to be under contract for you for the next 2 years. The other risk is Kawhi Leonard feels like he's in this zone where he might just not suit up for you if he doesn't want to play for you. Is he guaranteed to play this year? I mean, this is one of the things that his team has floated. And seeing what he did to San Antonio last year, you can't take anything for granted. If Kawhi is really moody or really apathetic or really frustrated, there's the possibility he just says, I never wanted to play for the Raptors. I don't want to play for the Raptors, and you don't get me this year. So this is a fascinating deal. Fascinating. I think the Spurs, in some ways, did the best that they could. I understand why Toronto did it. You try to pull off the Paul George deal. We get him first. We get a full year to basically try to win him over and court him. We can sign him to more money than anybody else can. We got to try to convince Kawhi Leonard. And if they get Kawhi on a long-term deal after this season, and they get Kawhi, obviously, in his athletic prime, and they get Kawhi involved and engaged and wanting to be there, they have something a lot of other teams don't. One of the best players of the NBA. I mean, they immediately make themselves better, and if you combine him with Kyle Lowry, who I'm not huge on, but Lowry's been an all-star, if you combine Kawhi with the best bench in basketball, if you combine him with an Eastern Conference where LeBron just left, you know, the Toronto Raptors might feel like this is our chance right now. Let's try to strike while the iron's hot, which I understand. Being aggressive in the NBA is something that's unfortunately become mandatory if you want to be relevant. Just relevant. So I get it from both sides, but let's face it, it's a huge risk by Toronto. Your reaction to Kawhi Leonard being traded to the Toronto Raptors for DeMar DeRozan at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. As you might imagine, plenty on this as we make our way through the morning. Plenty on this. Plus, how crazy is it? We might get the Manny Machado deal today as well, where two of the best players in their respective sports could be dealt, could be moving zip codes on the one day of the year that's always known as the most dead day of the sports calendar. Last night was the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. And Mike Trout should be the diamond of the league. He should be the epicenter. He should be the most popular player and the iconic man in that sport. And yesterday, you had the commissioner basically calling him out. Strange days in baseball indeed. We'll get to that story next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We have now the details with the Toronto Raptors San Antonio Spurs trade. Glad you're with us. You can always stream us on your phone using the CBS Sports app. Radio.com app or Apple Music. Take us with you on the go and on your phone. The Raptors get Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green from the Spurs. Spurs get DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a 2019 first-round pick. So again, Raptors get Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green. Spurs get DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and 2019 first-round pick. Big news going down today in the NBA. We're talking about it. Hit us up on the phones. Your thoughts on it. Your take on the winner of this. I think the winner's the Spurs because I don't know that Kawhi Leonard's going to play for Toronto or want to sign long-term in Toronto, but I know that DeMar DeRozan's under contract for 3 more years at a reasonable rate when it comes to a star and a 4-time All-Star. Not a great rate, but reasonable. And I guess the Spurs just simply didn't want to take only young players and or draft picks. They get something akin to Kawhi. Not exactly the same thing because, let's face it, Kawhi's much better. He's the next level, next tier type of star. But DeRozan's a 4-time All-Star and a really good guard and a really good scorer. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. And today's also an Ask the Pros kind of question. An Ask the Pros question of the day kind of day. Where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Be listening later in the show, later on in the day, and you could be our Ask the Pros question of the day. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Mike's in Abilene, Texas. He's dialed it up today. What's going on, Mike?
What up, DA? Let's get that beam up.
All right. What do you think about this big trade?
Man, DA, here's what I think. I think you're right as far as who won the trade with the character that Kawhi has displayed over the past 2 seasons. That's just a big risk. You know, like you said, his upside is great. One of the best two-way players in the game, one of the best overall players in the game. But like you said, what are you going to get? Are you going to get motivated Kawhi? Are you going to get the past 2 years pouty? I go from being the man no one's ever heard a word from and just put my head down and do my job to now I throw a hissy fit and I want out of my team that has brought me nothing but success and education for the game of basketball. This is just, the trade doesn't baffle me. Kawhi Leonard baffles me. Like, this dude has done a complete turnaround as far as his image. And I don't know if it was intentional. I don't know if this is who this guy was all along. I don't know if he got a big head. I just don't understand it. This guy never said a word. I was pretty sure he was mute. He couldn't talk. He just put his head down and bawled out. Now you're talking crap to your teammates and you got battles with your teammates, word wars with your teammates, and you just stamp your feet up and down and just you demand a trade from one of the greatest organizations and one of the greatest coaches of our modern era? I don't know, DA. Like, who is this guy? You know, who are we going to get? Who's Toronto going to get? Like you said, that dude could pull a ghost mode and not play at all next year. I really feel sorry for Danny Green. Like, I felt like Danny Green was, you know, a part of the San Antonio's organization. He won a championship there, been a great role player for them. And he just, you know what, we'll just pack you up and ship you to another country, bud.
Yeah, Mike, I think that's a totally fair question. I thank you for the phone call. I think it's a totally fair question. What Kawhi Leonard do the Raptors get? And who is Kawhi Leonard right now? There's a part of me that wants to sympathize and understand where Kawhi is coming from. You work for an organization. Your entire career is built around your body. It's about the health. It's about your ability and trusting that your organization cares about your health and wants you to be supported because your body is what makes you your career. And so you'd certainly want that organization to be in your corner that you can trust. And if you felt like they bagged you, if you felt like they gave you bunk information, if you felt like they didn't really care about your health because you knew something was wrong and they said it wasn't wrong, I could understand going, no, that's not how I can trust you anymore. But the problem is that Kawhi Leonard has felt like it's not only been him versus the Spurs, it's been not only do I want not trust you anymore, but I will dictate where I play and you can't do anything about it. And that's an issue in the character of Kawhi. If Kawhi is going, I just got to get out of here, and wherever I go, I will be motivated, I will be trusting, I will be ready to go, and I will be happy to ball. It'd be one story. You wouldn't necessarily worry about his motivation, his engagement, or where his head is at. But it has seemed all along that Kawhi not only has burned the bridge with San Antonio, he's also said, and I will dictate everything. And screw you, screw you, screw you, screw you, screw you. I'm taking my ball, I'm going home, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's where you start to worry about what's going on upstairs. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. I got to tell you, Major League Baseball has Mike Trout as right now on track to become one of the greatest players ever. He's a two-time MVP. He's been an all-star basically every year of his career. He is incredible offensively. He's incredible defensively. He doesn't get into any trouble off the field. Consummate teammate, consummate professional, and plays in one of the biggest markets in America. I realize it's Anaheim, not LA. I realize it's the Angels, not the Dodgers, but still. There is no reason that Mike Trout shouldn't be the golden boy of baseball. But there's always this question about marketing. And Rob Manfred said yesterday that the league has tried to market him and Mike has not worked with them. Quote, Mike has made decisions on what he wants to do, doesn't want to do, how he wants to spend his free time or not spend his free time. I think we could help him make his brand very big, but he has to make a decision to engage. It takes time and effort. This got back to Mike Trout. Trout, after last night's All-Star game, says that he has been engaged and he does want to be popular in terms of endorsements and branding and wants to work with MLB and kind of dismissed that idea. If you're Rob Manfred, I think this is a terrible look because it might be that Mike Trout has wanted to only focus on baseball. Maybe in the middle of the season, he has not wanted to do some type of commercial shoot. He has not wanted to do some type of magazine shoot. Maybe in the offseason, he has dedicated to training. Maybe he doesn't want to be flying across the country for this, for that. Maybe he doesn't want to fly internationally for this or that. Maybe Mike Trout doesn't have a huge personality, which I don't think he does if you look at his quotes, you look at his social media, and maybe he's just not the type of guy that wants to be like Bryce Harper. But even if all of that is true, you don't air that dirty laundry if you're Rob Manfred. There is no win here. Because then you have now just taken a cut out of the popularity of your best baseball player. If behind the scenes you got to try to work with him more, press on him more, convince him more of what he needs to do, that's fine. Do not engage in some type of, well, he won't do this for us. Because then that just comes out of insecurity about what you are not doing as a league. And another thing, it's not like Mike Trout's the first baseball star that hasn't been capitalized on by Major League Baseball in terms of marketing. So there's a long lineage here of baseball being unable to capitalize on this. He ain't the first one. Okay, if baseball was like basketball and you had LeBron and you had Russell Westbrook and you had all these stars that have fashion lines and photo shoots, and is the GQ guy or the Q rating you're looking for, and is all these stars that are all over the place that everybody talks about all the time. It'd be one thing if you had one guy and you go, hey, look, we do this for everybody, as you can see, and he's just not engaging. It's a different thing if you're Major League Baseball and you haven't been able to find any of those guys. It might be on you as well. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. The Kawhi Leonard trade is dominating the news cycle today. We'll continue with that. Also, an amazing story from a young man from Duke, senior shooting guard Brennan Besser, biking from Seattle to New York City, raising money and awareness for those in need. We will get to that with him in studio as well, coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio, and Brad Heller has your headlines.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So glad you're with us on a Wednesday morning, moving into a Wednesday afternoon by the time that this show is over here on the East Coast. And a day in the sports calendar that's usually a dead day has become an enormous sports day because of the Kawhi Leonard trade, which we're all over this morning. So glad you're with us. Remember that we are also available on Sirius XM for you guys at Channel 206. If your local affiliate doesn't carry us, shame on them. However, if you're on the move outside your normal listening area, that's okay. Sirius XM 206 for all of CBS Sports Radio. And, of course, The Da.
Aw, The Da. I love The Da.
So with the Kawhi Leonard deal, it's continuously just kind of one of these amazing deals that go down because you could see it from both sides. From the Toronto Raptors side, they get the superior player. From the Spurs side, they get a four-time All-Star who's under contract for three more years. You don't know if Kawhi is going to play this year for you. You don't know if Kawhi is going to play long-term for you in Toronto, so there's a huge risk there, but Toronto willing to take that risk. So we're talking about that this morning. Also, what a cool story that just wrapped up last night here in New York City. A young man, Duke basketball player, going to be a senior at Duke, shooting guard Brennan Besser, got on a bike in Seattle on May the 16th and last night pedaled through New York City into Battery Park and completed an amazing marathon journey, raising $1 million to support those with IDD, intellectual or developmental disabilities, through Walk on America. And Brennan joins us now in studio after completing that hike last night. Brennan, how you doing, man? Good morning.
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Really, thanks so much. Yeah, thanks so much for coming on by. That's an incredible, heroic, athletic event beyond what it means to the community. How do you physically feel?
You know what? I've been telling people my legs have been perpetually tired, 60 miles on average a day. But you know, I'm so excited to be in New York. I'm feeling great.
All right, so physically you're okay. You're not like totally sore. I mean, my back hurts just from laying the wrong way last night, but you're all right.
I'm doing good. Yes, okay. Definitely. Right. Mind over matter.
So 60 miles a day. Give me the structure of every day. What time did you wake up every day? Sure. How long did it take to bike the 60 miles? When did you stop and then kind of shut down for the night?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in the beginning of the trip, we'd wake up around, you know, 9:30. Obviously, this doesn't get done without a team, so we did have two support vehicles. I had two support vehicles on the road. You know, as we got into the journey and heat started getting worse and worse, maybe you get up a little bit earlier or you wait later. So our goal was to try and put on a basketball clinic in almost every stop for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So whether or not I'd be biking to a town, and that's about 4.5, maybe 5.5 hours of biking a day to do our 60 miles, then we'd put on an hour-long clinic, and or we'd do an hour-long clinic in the morning, and then I'd get on the bike. So it fluctuated here and there, but that was the standard regimen.
So why not just add on top of a day of 60 miles of biking in the middle of the brutal heat? A one-hour basketball clinic,
sometimes outside, you know, so, but it was great. Yeah, a very active schedule because we'd be doing press as well, trying to spread this message, this Walk on America campaign, but it's been awesome.
how hungry were you all the time? I mean, that's burning a lot of calories.
Yeah, you know what? I already eat a lot, and that just ramped up. I will tell you, a shameless plug, I ate Subway almost every day. I do love Subway.
What is the bread and besser Subway order? What's the go-to order?
Well, it's an Italian urban cheese, turkey, American toasted, with lettuce and maybe some tomatoes and mayo.
Did you get that every time, or did you ever mix it up?
I think 95% of the time I got that, which is embarrassing, but I'll be honest.
That's great. Brendan Besser is going to be a senior at Duke, shooting guard on the basketball team, just completed this amazing marathon, amazing journey here to New York City. So what inspired you to get involved with Walk on America and go ahead and do this?
Sure. So actually, I started the Walk on America Foundation with my older sister, Rachel Besser, who's right over here, actually on the other side of the glass in studio. I have four older sisters. Jacqueline Besser, who's 23, has autism. She's developmentally delayed, and she's actually nonverbal. So she uses an iPad to communicate. Now, she has really severe ADD and ADHD to the point where it actually inhibits her ability, even when she is using the iPad as an assistive technology, to formulate real, clear, concise sentences. So it's really like one word at a time. But she's the inspiration for the project. You know, our family's a part of the IDD community. We're fortunate to have resources to assist Jacqueline, but we know that there are a lot of people out there that are not as fortunate. And that was the basis for this trip. How can we help? How could we start a national movement, this Walk on America movement, to try to empower individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities and really create this narrative that it's a call to confidence? It may seem like you're alone when the day-to-day challenges are hard, but it's going on all across the world.
So it sounds like you come from a really tight-knit family.
Absolutely.
And you and your siblings are really, really close-knit. What is the best part about your relationship with Jacqueline, and what's the toughest part, watching her go through what she's going through?
Yeah. You know, obviously there are some pretty simplistic elements to the relationship that are fun, you know, where we're just hanging out. You know, she's a big Barney fan. Yeah, she's 23 years old, but she is, you know, a Barney fanatic in Blue's Clues. So, you know, I'll sit down and watch that with her, and that's just bonding time. Obviously, the big takeaways are the fact that when you see someone that you love and that you're so close with on a day-to-day basis go through these challenges, not being able to communicate, you know, especially being in journalism, you know, you understand the power of just speech. So that teaches me and everyone in our family just to be grateful on a day-to-day basis. You know, obviously there are challenges and there's adversity that may seem, you know, huge. But when you compare it with what Jacqueline's going through on a day-to-day basis, it really puts things into perspective.
Mm. Brendan Besser joins us from the Duke basketball program after his Walk on America journey, trek from Seattle to New York City, biking the entire way, raising money, $1 million for those with intellectual or developmental disabilities. Was Coach K supportive when you pitched this idea? Because a lot of basketball coaches, if they hear one of their players, hey, coach, in the middle of the offseason, I'm just going to bike from Seattle to New York City. No big deal exactly. Every single day. Might be like, I don't think so. But how did Coach K respond?
Well, I'll tell you that, you know, Coach K is from Chicago. I am too. We have that special connection. He was unbelievably supportive. I think at first when I actually sat down and told him the idea, he was maybe slightly shocked. I am known on the team for being in practice the guy that dives on loose balls, maybe a little bit crazy at times, but in a good way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he digested it. Was unbelievably supportive, made sure that we got the type of exposure and coverage that was necessary to spread this word. But I will tell you, the assistant coaches have been amazing. And one of the assistant coaches, actually our director of basketball operations, Nolan Smith, who's the people's champion, you know, national champion, Duke point guard, is actually here in studio. He came to surprise me and support me. So he's also on the other side.
Oh, very nice. What's up, coach? There we are. Oh, good to see you, man. Good to see you.
But, you know, it's like, you know, all the assistant coaches sending me texts along the way, words of encouragement, even the fact that Nolan would come out today, it means the world. And that just shows you the power of our brotherhood, and the Duke basketball fan base has been incredible.
That's really cool. What is it like to play for Duke when you know you are kind of the center of attention, both good and bad? I mean, when you go on the road, look, at Cameron Indoor, it's unbelievable. It is unlike anything else we have in college basketball for the most part. When you go on the road, boy, there's a lot of animosity. When you go into the NCAA tournament, there's a lot of animosity. So what is it like to be at the epicenter of all this passion from fans, both good and bad?
Yeah. You know, it's an unbelievably special experience to have been a part of this team, and especially going to my senior year, something that, you know, I truly savor. You know, you walk into gyms, and what something I actually saw along the way, Duke basketball fans are everywhere. You know, I'm biking through the middle of nowhere in Montana, and there's someone coming out to a clinic that's a huge Duke fan. I don't think that's happening anywhere else.
Yeah.
I will tell you, being a part of Duke basketball, you do see the brutal side of sports, but it also is what makes sports so fun. You know, one of my closest friends is Grayson Allen. And, you know, that was a great learning experience for me. You know, here you go, we play a game. You know, he's receiving a lot of press, for better or for worse. And then to have those long nights where we'd just be talking about, you know, how it makes him feel, you know, being portrayed a certain way, you know, when he knows that that's not the case. Maybe he's portrayed as the Duke villain because he's just that good. But, you know, it also makes it fun. You know, it's you know you're doing something right if you're receiving a lot of hate, because we also receive a lot of love. And that's the beauty of, you know, being at the top, I guess.
You have played with so many talented dudes over the last couple of years. You'll be a senior. The last three classes, I mean, Duke has put out lottery guys every single year.
Yep.
Who's been the best that just kind of took you back when you were practicing against them or just playing with them, what have you, working out with them?
Yeah. You know, I've seen so many great talents. I'm a hoops fanatic. It's really been special. Obviously, throughout the years, there have been, you know, so many great players. It's almost hard to decipher who's better than the other. Different styles of play. But what I will tell you, you know, Wendell Carter, who just got drafted to my hometown of the Chicago Bulls.
Right.
You know, I'll say it on the record. I think he could end up becoming one of the next great superstar players.
Yeah.
You know, he's a big guy. He's strong. He has guard capabilities. He's got a jump shot from three. So he's a talent that, you know, by the way, an incredibly kind guy. And that's something, you know, the sports, the physical ability, obviously, when you get, if you can make it to Duke as a basketball player, that'll be inherent. But coach and this coaching staff brings in people with great character. And, you know, within that realm, Wendell, as a player and as a person, really is just blown me away. And we have a great friendship.
Brandon Besser joins us from Duke. He has completed this incredible journey from Seattle to New York City, raising money for intellectual or developmental disabilities through Walk On America. And he joins us in studio. So have you gotten a chance to practice or play with Zion Williamson, who's an incoming freshman? If not, what do you think practice is going to be like looking at his ridiculous dunking ability? We've been watching this dude dunk viciously for like three high school years.
Exactly.
I can't stop watching him on Instagram.
I know. I'm right there with you. It's incredible. You know what? So I haven't played with him yet. I have met him. I'm really anxious to get back on campus now that this, you know, national trek is over with, to get in the gym with these great talents and these great guys, to learn about their personalities. You know, he is a freak of an athlete. I can only imagine with what our Duke basketball team, whether it be the coaches, whether it be, you know, Coach Will, our strength coach, what they actually do with this beautiful, you know, it's a canvas. It's a beautiful canvas that can only be improved upon. So once again, high hopes for him. He'll be a special player.
Got about a minute left. Talk to our listeners about how they can get involved with Walk On America and your whole goal for raising awareness and support for those with IDD.
Yeah, well, you know, so we've obviously met we've met thousands and thousands of people all across the country. The Walk On America campaign is a national effort to raise awareness, and we have this $1 million goal for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. I believe it's all of our responsibility to advocate for this group of individuals that at times, depending on their disability, may not be able to truly even physically advocate for themselves. You know, how challenging is that? Like with my sister Jacqueline, to tell someone that you need help when your actual disability is the fact that you can't tell them. So that's where we step in. You know, we have this $1 million goal. We've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars, but we're not there yet. So we have a website. It's walkonamerica.org. We also have social medias where, you know, we love when people spread the word, share the message, repost videos. All the money is going to be redistributed to the organizations we've worked with along the way. And these people are doing great work on a day-to-day basis. We've been so fortunate, but, you know, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep walking on.
You're an amazing guy, man.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're an amazing guy. This is an amazing cause. walkonamerica.org. Go there for more information and
please
check them out on social media. walkonamerica.org. What a cool story. Brennan, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.